Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how this ministry is impacting your life. So if you would please take a moment and send us your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry financially, you can do that at oceansunite.com and select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So what I'm going to do is just quickly, just briefly, just give you one or two quick little things here before we step into tonight, because I'm going to carry on from where I did this morning, if that's okay with you guys. And we're going to just go a little deeper, and we'll see what God has for us tonight. Amen. It's very quiet in Vero Beach. Amen. Amen. So we see that before Jesus went up to be with the Father, he was with his disciples. And while he was with his disciples, he was about to tell them and explain to them that he was going to have to be taken away from them. And this was not easy for them to understand. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have walked with Jesus, to have been led by him, to have been taught by him, to have been shown everything you know by him, to have a hope in him, to believe he's the Messiah, to believe that things are going to change, and all of a sudden he tells you that he's going to be taken away. Must have been devastating. And so this is what he says to them after he tells them he's going to be taken away. He says this in John 14, 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." We saw this morning that the word another is a very powerful word and actually suggests that he will give you one that is exactly the same as him. So Jesus was explaining to his disciples that he was going to give them a replacement or another helper that would be the same as he was, that would teach them the same way, that would be just like him, that would basically be exactly the same as he was. That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, and I love this part, I will come to you. And as I explained to you this morning, we see earlier in John 14, we see how Philip and Jesus has this conversation, and Philip wants to see the Father, and Jesus said to him, "But Philip, don't you know that I've been with you all this time?" And he says that if the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, and basically gives an example of how close they are and how they do the same things, and they think the same way, and they act the same way. And he says, Jesus says that I do nothing that I do not see the Father do. And then he goes and he says, "I will not leave you orphans. I'll come back." But how many of you know that he doesn't come back to stay? He goes back up. But yet he explains to them that he will give them another helper that is just the same as himself. So the same way that he explains to the disciples that he is in the Father and the Father is in him, so it is that the Holy Spirit and him also share the same type of relationship. We also see that in the life of Jesus, right from his conception here on earth, we see the Holy Spirit was involved. From the beginning, we see the Holy Spirit empower him. We see the Holy Spirit lead him. We see that Jesus had this relationship with the Holy Spirit. We also see that Jesus prays to the Father and asks the Father to give them another helper. That word pray there is not the normal Greek word for prayer. I'm not going to even try. Amen? But the Greek word used here is a word that is far more powerful. It's a legal word. It's seven times used in the New Testament. Six of those seven times, Jesus is praying. And he's basically imploring God. He's pleading with God. He's pleading the case. And he's saying to God, "Please give them another helper." And he's saying to God, "I want you to give them the same helper that you gave me," basically. My companion. And he says this to the Lord, to the Father. And the Father, then we know what happens. Amen. So we see this situation take place. And as I explained to you this morning, that the disciples must have been lost. But when Jesus died and rose again and sent the Holy Spirit, it looks like they carried on as though he was still here. And he operated The disciples operated with power. The disciples operated as though Jesus was still walking with them. And so it is that we see that they must have developed this relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is so vital for us as the church today as well. It is so important for us to also grasp this relationship. I said this morning that if you're a Christian and you've served God for a period of time, more than likely you've come to a place or you have been at a place in your walk with Him where you realize there must be more. There must be more. Why does it feel like I'm hitting the roof? I'm like, my relationship just isn't going any further. Yet the Bible is full of all this life. And my walk with Him just seems to kind of like not be living the way it should. And one of the biggest reasons is because so many of us as believers don't understand the value and the importance of that relationship that we should have with the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I want to take it a little deeper, if that's okay with you guys. And let's take a look. And the guys next Sunday morning will be lost. It's okay. We'll pray for them. Amen. Let me just read it again. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. One of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit that He gave His disciples was the word helper. That word helper, and actually in many translations, it's actually the word comforter. Now the word comforter or helper in the original language actually was the word parakletos. Now that word is extremely powerful, and initially the legal term for parakletos was actually to describe someone who would plead your case in court. So it was a legal term. We must understand that the Greek language is extremely powerful. And if you study it, there's so much more to it than you can possibly imagine. If you read that word helper in the New King James or in most translations, that's what you see, a helper. And that's great, but it doesn't tell me a whole lot. Can you say amen? Amen? Now let's take a look at the same verse in the Amplified Version, which kind of gives you a little bit more of a description of what that word parakletos actually means. In John 14:16, the same verse, and I don't know if they have it. We still have a new program. We're trying to figure it all out. It says this, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter. And in brackets, you see what that word means in the original language. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. That He may remain with you forever. Can we all say forever? That means forever. Some words in the original language just mean what they say. Amen. But when we see a word we don't like, we go and examine it. We go and try and find out what could it possibly mean. It can't possibly mean forever. But it does. It means forever. I just want to read to you John 14:26. Watch this now. Now, just to explain and express how powerful this is, in the Amplified it says, but the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. You could also go as far as to say, just like me. Just like me. He will teach you all things, and He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Isn't that powerful? John 15:26, one more verse, and we'll really dig into this. But when the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom comes, proceeds from the Father, He Himself will testify regarding me. Now that's very powerful right there. We'll take a look at that verse a little bit later on, but I first want to take a look at the actual word parakletos and what it means. Now, I've taught on this word before, and I've broken down helper, and I've broken down comforter, and I've done all of that, but there's something that I haven't done before, I don't believe, that I want to show you this evening that's extremely powerful. The reality is that parakletos is actually a compound word, which means that it has two parts. And it's important for you to really get and understand what Jesus is saying when he says this parakletos. The Greek language is extremely detailed and very powerful. So the first part is the word para. And it's a very powerful word. It's pretty simple. You just take the word and split it in two and get the two root words. Is that okay? The word para means to come alongside or to get so close to someone, as close as you can possibly get. So someone would never be para to you if they're a stranger to you. So he is the parakletos. In other words, he's the one who is close to you. He's the one who comes alongside you. Now, someone like your spouse would be para to you in the Greek. This is about Greeks coming out tonight. Amen. Someone who's para to you is someone that you would drink coffee with, someone that you would eat with and shop with and share everything with. Like I shared with you this morning, how many of you know what it's like when you were a young child or in high school and you had your best friend and you would at night you would stay up late and play video games and watch TV and talk a whole lot of nonsense, and then at about that time when you're just about to fall asleep, all the deep dark secrets come out. That's someone that you are para with. That's someone that you are close with. That's someone you share intimate secrets with. That's someone who is just like the Holy Spirit to us. Not a stranger, not someone that we don't know very well. Someone that we are side by side together. This will cause you to become a lot like each other. How many of you know that when you have a best friend, someone that you spend a lot of time with? How many of you have seen couples that even dress the same? Amen. That's what happens. You start to sound the same. You start to dress the same. You start to say things the same. And that's really good in this situation, especially if we can become more like him. So while we're spending time and fellowshipping with him and beginning to become sensitive to his voice, he begins to change us and we begin to sound like him. We begin to act like him. We begin to get sensitive to his voice. Remember what I said? I don't know if I said this morning or if I was thinking this while I was praying. I can't remember, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. In your mind, in your soul, you have suggestions coming constantly. Now, I've done deliverance. Actually, I did say this in the service. I've done deliverance before where the person will say, oh, I had this thought, and it's not their thought. It's the thought of an evil spirit. How do I know? Because I deal with the thing and then there's a big showdown. Okay? And at that point, it's hectic and they're screaming and shouting and trying to live. Let's not go there tonight. Amen. Some people here that won't be able to handle that. Okay, so we see that now in that sense. Now, in the sense with the Holy Spirit, guess where he is? Come on, church, where is he? He's inside you. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside you when you get saved. So he's living in you. So guess what? He's going to speak. Those thoughts, those suggestions, what he's saying to you, where do you think it's going to go? It's going to manifest. You're going to hear it in your soul. You will hear his thoughts. The problem is we struggle to listen and to hear what he's saying. But when we begin to know him and we begin to pay attention and we begin to listen, for example, when you go to Publix and you hear that voice say something to the teller, but you go, oh, no, that's not God. That's the Holy Spirit. Or when all of a sudden you think that maybe you shouldn't do something, that's the Holy Spirit. Or you something happens and like I was driving home this afternoon, and I left a little late this afternoon, and while I was in the car, I got this. It's like somebody punched me in the stomach. I can't explain it, but it wasn't a bad punch. It was a good punch. But I knew it was the Holy Spirit saying, "I want to spend time with you this afternoon." Now, I could just go, but you become sensitive. You begin to hear and you begin to listen to him speak to you. And that's when all of a sudden things begin to change. Listen, the reality is, like Paul said, you're going to struggle quite a bit with your flesh. But you can also get to the place where you begin to get so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You begin to become so sensitive to his voice. And when you begin to do that, then he begins to do things that are so awesome. Besides the relationship aspect, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, He also then gives you spiritual gifts. He can also use you for his glory, but here's the reality. Oh, let me not go there. Just wait. Okay, I need to move periodically or whatever. Amen. So we see this first word, which causes a coming together. You begin to form his habits, his personality, his likes and dislikes. You begin to know him so intimately. Like I said this morning, it might sound a little crazy to you, but I know someone and I've seen someone who has such an incredible relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning, I thought he was crazy, and later I became jealous. And everything changed in my walk with God the day I went into my room and basically said to him, all right, I'm not even going to pray anything now except I just need you to come. I need you to come and speak to me. I need you to come and I need you to walk into my room and I want to get to know you. I want to be best friends with you. And everything changed. I had an encounter like the likes of which I cannot explain to you. And it was months that every time I would walk into my prayer closet, I would just invite the Holy Spirit in and I would have encounters with him that were so remarkable. I would go to services and I'd hardly did anything. I just watched as he would move on people, as he would touch people's lives. I remember one service, and if you've never been here before, just take a deep breath after I say this, okay? I went to a service and you know, people oftentimes will say, well, you know, the pastor pushes them down. And that night I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, tonight when I pray for people, I don't want to touch anyone. And Pastor Mike was there. I don't think I touched a soul. But the power of God manifested in that place so strong that night. And so many people encountered him and they all went flying. And I never even touched them. That's the kind of relationship you can develop with him. He's so awesome. He's so wonderful. He's so gentle when he wants to be gentle. He can get angry. Believe me, he can get angry. Sometimes I say, well, that was God's anger, but it was mine. But there are times as well where you can feel that he gets upset. He gets grieved. Amen. This is how our relationship with the Holy Spirit is supposed to be. You need to understand. You need to grasp this. He's always with you. Always. That means he sees the good and he sees the bad. That's kind of scary. Maybe not for you, but for me. He knows every thought. He knows everything you're going through. He sees everything you see. Every time you're about to make a decision, good or bad, he's right there with you, leading you on, desiring to speak to you so that you can take his advice and do what he wants you to do. But so many times we don't do it because of our flesh. Amen? Amen. So the second part of the word is also extremely powerful. In the Greek, it's the word kletos, which means, now listen to this, it means to call or to be called. It is used 11 times in the New Testament, always describing being called. For example, let me give you an example. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 1. Now, it's not called like, I'm calling you. Hello, it's not like that, okay? It's a different type of call. That's 1 Corinthians 1:1. It says this, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthene, our brother. Now, what he's saying there is it's basically Paul is called to be an apostle. So it's calling, it's destiny, it's purpose. So the Holy Spirit must come right alongside you, with you, live in you, lead you and guide you, and he has a purpose. He has a calling. That's why he's the parakletos. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He is called to do this. The same word is used again in Romans 1:7, just to give you an example, so hopefully you can understand it. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. How many of you know we are all called to be believers? We are all called to be Christians. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great example of purpose and calling. The Holy Spirit is our Parakletos. He's our comforter, which means he comforts and consoles and helps us. He's the helper. In everything, he's our helper. He helps you in all situations. As I said, when you're at your lowest, when you wake up, when you go to bed, when you pray, when you don't pray, when you behave maturely or when you don't behave maturely, we won't say anything else. Work, school, sports, TV, no matter where you go, he's always with you. He is with you. I'm going to say it again, all the time. Remember, Jesus taught the disciples everything they knew. The Holy Spirit also teaches you everything you need to know. He teaches you, he advises you, he corrects you, he instructs you, he trains you, he tutors you, he guides you, he directs you. We need to keep our spiritual ears open to what he is teaching us. Remember, he will only guide you into truth because he is the Spirit of truth. So many Christians are so afraid to be led by the Spirit. So many Christians are so afraid to get close to the Holy Spirit. So many Christians believe it's bad. How can you elevate the Holy Spirit? He's God. There is no jealousy in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was revealed. The Father was revealed in Jesus. The Holy Spirit, Jesus is revealed in the Holy Spirit. He's the one who will show you the truth. He's the one who will reveal to you who Jesus really is. He's the one who will teach you everything you need to know. But so many believers choose not to know him. So many believers are afraid of him because the first time we see him show up in the book of Acts, it's a little strange. Tongues of fire sat upon each one of them. Jesus made a declaration before he went up. He said, when he comes, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and there will be power. Paraphrasing now. Power. That's a little strange to some of us because so many of us believe that our walk should be quiet. And there are moments where it should be quiet. But there are also moments where we need that power. Can you say amen? Okay. You see, if our ears and our eyes are not open, he will not be able to guide us into truth because we won't listen to him. John 14:17 says this, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. How do you know him? Because he dwells with you and will be in you. You see, the world doesn't recognize his voice, but you recognize his voice because he lives inside you and he's with you. Amen. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In other words, the only way the true testimony of Jesus will come is from the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have the Word, but to bring that Word to life, we must have the Holy Spirit. We must hear His voice. He must lead us. He must guide us. He must teach us. John 16:13. Did I read that yet? No, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The only way to have the prophetic spirit telling you things to come in your life is to know his voice, to hear his voice. Everything he says will always line up with the Word of God. But he He also speaks freely to you. He has relationship with you. He's intimate with you. The Bible says it clearly. Amen. He'll confirm the word. He will show you the true meaning of the word. He will lead you in the direction of your life that it's supposed to go. Keep in mind, all that I'm reading to you in the book of John, in 14, 15, and 16, this is the last stuff that Jesus taught his disciples before he went. That must mean it's pretty significant. If I'm about to die, or I'm about to leave you, or I'm about to leave my kids, I think I'm going to tell them the most important stuff that they need to know. And they all concerned about all kinds of stuff. And he's saying, listen, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you another one just like me. He'll replace me, but he'll be the same as me. He'll teach you the same way that I taught you. He'll explain things to you the same way that I explained them to you. He will love you the way that I have loved you. He'll guide you. He'll help you. He'll comfort you. The key to building relationship and becoming sensitive to him is obeying his voice when he speaks. How many of you in this place say, I want to be used by Jesus? In some or other way, I want to be used by him. How many of you in this place want to testify of him? All of us, pretty much. Amen. Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's incredible because the verse is so powerful. It says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem. How do we become a witness of Jesus? How do we do that? I don't want to go and when I go and witness about him, I go and it's just like, ugh. It's like dead. There's nothing. The person looks at me like I've lost the plot. And there's nothing to show them or to tell them in any way that he's alive. Now watch this. John 15:26 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. If you want to be able to testify of Jesus, you must have the Holy Spirit in your life, in relationship with you, because you can't testify of him if the Holy Spirit isn't working in your life. Because your expression will not be true if you're not listening to the one who testifies of him accurately. He is the Spirit of truth. Amen. Now the Bible says in Acts 1:8 that when he comes upon you, he will empower you. That power comes upon you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be able to be a witness. We have to experience the Holy Spirit in every dimension, in every way in our lives. On a personal way, in a relationship type way. But we also need to experience and receive the power that he has present for us. Because Jesus loved the people. And when Jesus loved the people, he wanted to touch the people. He wanted to heal the people. He wanted to deliver the people. Amen. Cheyenne, please climb on the piano for me. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot share or demonstrate Jesus his love or his power or anything really that lives and breathes and has the ability to truly change somebody's heart. Listen, I don't want to bribe you into the kingdom. I don't want my words, my wisdom and my knowledge to try to convince you of his love and his goodness and his mercy. I would far prefer to be like Jesus was when he spoke to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He spoke to his disciples describing the Holy Spirit with a pronoun. In other words, when we go and we share him, we don't share in word. We introduce him to people. We introduce him. We introduce his goodness and his mercy. Now, he's not in human form, but he's a person just like you and me. And he has feelings and emotions. He loves, he weeps, he has sorrow. You can cause sorrow to the Holy Spirit. And he is in this room tonight, right now. And every night is different. And every service is different. And I want to go so far into this with you guys. But before we do that tonight, I want every single one of us, if you desire it, I can't desire anything for you. Let's speak to him tonight. Let's invite him into this place tonight. Every church service should be like that. Who is the one that is present with us right now in this room? He's here. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit is here. The person of the Holy Spirit is right here, right now. I can feel his presence. He's here. All week, I felt in my spirit that there are so many of you that want to go deeper. And maybe you, just like I was in my walk with God. Listen, God was using me powerfully back then. But I didn't know the Holy Spirit intimately. And listen, Jesus became such a reality to me after I encountered the Holy Spirit in a far deeper way, where his feelings, where he became important to me, where I'd wake up in the morning and the first thing I would do is I'd greet all three of them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I'd have conversations with the Holy Spirit because I knew he was with me, becoming aware of him constantly in everything I do, realizing I just said something that probably hurt him. When you can get to that place in your walk with him, the two of you get into a partnership that I've only seen in my life a few times. And when you have that partnership with the Holy Spirit, when he becomes like a best friend to you, he's with you always. He loves you so much, every single one of you. And he desires to call you his friend, not just his servant. It's so quiet, but I guess that's okay. Let's close our eyes for just a minute. Father, tonight in this place, we thank you that you have sent your Spirit to us. Lord, I can talk about him all the time. Holy Spirit, I can talk about you all the time. And when I talk about you, I see Jesus. I see the Son. I see you, Lord Jesus. And we are so thankful for the price that was paid when you died on that cross. We know that we wouldn't have you, your presence, the Holy Spirit with us, if it wasn't for the death and the resurrection. But you made a way for every one of us to go beyond that veil, where there's no more sacrifice for us to encounter you. It's already been paid in full. Now we have access. But Lord, we don't always understand that you are with us always. And I pray tonight in this place that you will draw us so close to you. Father, if there is anyone in here tonight that needs to encounter you in that way, it's not about power right now. It's about the person of the Holy Spirit. Your presence is here, Lord. And you are in this building right now. And every single one of us is important to you, because you dwell in us. We've given our hearts to you. If you've come here tonight and you've never given your life to him, or maybe you're watching online and you've never given your life to Jesus, you will never know the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that. It says you cannot know him. The only way to know the Holy Spirit, to know Jesus, is to give your life to him. And once you give your life to him, if you make that decision and say, Lord, I want to make you the Lord of my life. Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. If you make that confession tonight, then he will become Lord of your life. And then he will introduce you to his Spirit. And that Spirit is the same Spirit that dwelled in him. And he will teach you everything you need to know. Listen, he will open the Bible up for you like you will not imagine. All of a sudden, you'll read stories, you'll read things in the Bible that you've read before, but all of a sudden, it will be just so different. It'll come completely alive to you. If you're sitting here tonight and you need to go deeper with your walk, you feel like you've hit that roof, I don't want you to come to the front. And can I ask you to dim the lights just a little bit for me? Not too much, not totally dark, just dim the lights a little more. If you can't, then do what you got to do, mate. Now it's just you and him. And he's here. He is here. Just invite him. Invite him into your life. Invite him into every area of your life. And tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you desire for him to reveal Jesus to you like you've never known him before. He's the one who reveals him to us. So we thank you, Father, for your great love. For you loved us so much that you sent the gift, like Peter did in the book of Acts. After the Holy Spirit came upon them, he got up and he said, "This is the gift that was promised." That gift is for every single one of us. Yes, for power, but also so that we can have an intimate relationship with you. Like Paul said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You are the part of God that is on this earth right now, and we desire to know you more. Holy Spirit, like you do when I'm at home in my room, and I pray, and I seek the Father with all of my heart, and you walk in and you fill the room with your beautiful presence. I ask you tonight that you will fill this room just the way you do with me at home, that you'll fill this place right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, you are so wonderful. You are so welcome. You are my best friend. We need you. We love you. We welcome you. And I pray now in the name of Jesus the Christ that you will change our hearts. That Lord, as we draw closer to you and become more sensitive to your voice, that you will begin to speak even more clearly to us so that we can hear everything you desire, so that we can please you and not grieve you in any way. We don't want to grieve you, Holy Spirit. We want to be sensitive to you. We want to have intimacy with you. I know that you love worship music. You love to be worshiped. You love when we surrender our hearts. When we surrender our hearts and completely give ourselves to you. Father, take every life in this place and use it for your glory. Use it for your kingdom, Lord. Lord, your word says that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your spirit. It's by your spirit. It's by your spirit that we learn to know him. It's by your spirit that we become sensitive to him. It's by your spirit that we can have intimacy. It's by your spirit that there's healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.